Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Steve.
How you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Doing okay. I mean, this is a great day. This is the day that National Association of Christian Counselors makes the Life Recovery Institute part of all of what they do. I mean, I just couldn't be
That is so exciting.
More pleased. So Dave Stoop and I get to go, and they're presenting an award for us being the pioneers of Christian recovery. So I'm trying to find a little raccoon cap as a pioneer. I'd like to wear that. You know.
And it's going to be in Tennessee, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Born
sure
on a mountaintop
sure
in Tennessee.
Only Mylon would think
Daniel
of that.
Daniel,
sorry. I'm telling you, it's
Davy
just
Crockett.
Great to see, you know, see these things happen. I don't know. I'm very fortunate to get to be part of that. Dave did such a great job and on that Bible, and a lot of people have been helped. But we want to help you, and we're going to do that right here. We're going to take your call. And some of you, you'll never call, but you could go to tv.newlife.com. We have a segment there called Ask Me Anything. It's appropriately titled because you can ask us anything. And some of the best stuff we've done there is all because somebody asked us something that we never would have done a program on if we hadn't been asked. So, you know, please go there and do it. Just ask anything you want to ask, and we'll answer it. Also, as you know, we've got a matching gift, or many of you do, $250,000. And when you give a dollar, you're really giving two, because it gets matched through this wonderful gift. So if you can, would you? If at all possible, this is a great time to give. And some people that were kind of waiting for the end of the year, they're giving it now. So please do. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go to the phones. I'm going to talk to Kirk from Baltimore, who listens online. Hello, Kirk. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. What's going on with you?
I really appreciate you taking my call. It took a lot of courage to do this. I'm really going to be trying to be quick about it. Here's a quick background on my situation. I've been married for 23 years. I left the home about 2 years ago. My wife filed for divorce six months ago. You know, we've been through counseling, marriage retreats, church. It hadn't really gone anywhere with that. 8 years ago, I got saved. Things started to change, even a little bit before that. My wife is a Catholic faith, so that created friction. My wife's behavior, I've done research, it's strong narcissist, negative words, blaming others, very controlling, has no filter on her words, the lying and the twisting of her words to her favor. It doesn't listen at all. And if you say anything that she doesn't agree with, then she gets angry.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
I feel like she doesn't understand reason. My question, can I live with a narcissist? She admits to nothing.
Well, it sounds like right?
Pardon me?
She's filed for divorce, right?
Yes.
So, do you think that's the right question? I mean, would she even want to be married? If you said, okay, I want to come home, would she stop the divorce? Or
yes, she would.
She would. All right, we'll talk about that right after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay, so Kirk's saying, can I live with a narcissist? Because if he's saying, if he said so, she'd just take that divorce and unfile it. So, Mylan, you had a comment. You and Jill both were talking about this at the break. What do you think? I mean, narcissists.
Well, you know, Kirk, a lot of us with injuries are narcissistic in the sense that we require things to revolve around our axis. All right? But I'm not so certain that that's the definitive diagnosis for what's going on with your bride. Are you there, by the way, Kirk? I can't hear you. Okay, good.
Yes, I am.
Okay, yeah. So in our book, How We Love, we talk about the vacillator, male or female, and they are just like you described your wife. They get angry. They cannot take any criticism or input. They tell everybody what they should do. They are controlling. They're very sensitive to separation, and they have a lot of tension and anxiety that builds up. Then they blow, and then everybody around them is ducking for cover. Then they feel better, and then the family, you know, responds back with smiles when they're smiling. And, you know, this is a pattern called the ambivalent or preoccupied attachment in the attachment research. So I would recommend that maybe you begin thinking, if she were to understand that that is a part of how she's described, if you think that description accurately describes her, then you may want to get that book, How We Love, by Mylan K. Yurkovich, and give it to her and say, would you read this chapter? I think this describes you, and this chapter describes me, and you might be able to start a dialogue.
Or even maybe, would you be willing to read this book? I'm reading this book, and I'm thinking it could help us if we are considering coming back together, and let maybe her diagnose herself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send you, since you don't live together, I'll send you two copies of it. Because, you know, now this is a book that really a lot of people that felt hopeless.
Mm-hmm. It sheds new light.
And they go, oh, that's what I am. Okay. So somebody knows what I am. They understand it. And they're not saying it's hopeless. And it can really change the course of history.
Steve, could I comment for 1 second?
Sure.
On this also to Kirk. The attachment research field, which is 70 years old, and the major diagnostic theory that it wraps itself around the diagnostic statistical manual, which is all the classic therapists of psychiatrists, psychologists, licensed marriage and family therapists, and licensed clinical social workers, these two groups haven't actually merged yet on paper. The attachment field is getting closer to the DSM, and the DSM group is getting closer to accepting attachment, but they haven't fully merged. So you may, if you want to do research on attachment injuries, on attachment theory and attachment research. And that is where you would do your work. A lot of therapists are not familiar with it. And so that's why it's different to what you may have heard in workshop seminars and other therapy offices. So that's why I just wanted to say something to the general audience as well as to you on that particular topic.
Yeah, I've been through that. I Dr. Jill, I've read mm-hmm. books, Gary Chapman's Five Love Languages. We tried to do that. We've been through all that. But the problem is for me is my wife, she admits to nothing. I mean, we can sit there and talk about me, which I don't have a problem with. I mean, I like sharing my character deficiencies. I don't have a problem with that. But when it comes time for her to share, it's automatically, I need to work on my anger. And that's it, guys. That's what she says. And then she goes right back to me. And
Here's a book, Mylon's book and Kay's book. Before you can say, hey, it's all about you, buddy, the book is saying to you, the vacillator, hey, don't say it's all about the person sitting next to you. Stay with me here, because we believe you can find some hope if you won't jump to the conclusion that it's all about them. Restrain yourself, hold back your anger, all that. See, this is the book for you. Very different than Five Love Languages. Five Love Languages, amazing book, but for people going through something different than what you're going through.
So, right. So, Kirk, you're asking, can you live with a narcissist? You have been living with somebody who's very difficult for all these years.
Right.
So you have been doing it. I hear your frustration because you're wanting a partner that's going to kind of meet you in the middle, and it sounds like she's not willing to do that. I think that speaks to the kind of the depth of her injury, sensitivity, you know, inability to tolerate much. And so one of the things, you know, again, we can't diagnose over the air, but if she has a more narcissistic way of interacting, then you have to realize that it's so painful. Like, you can barely touch on something about her without her, she'll recoil. So you have to really front load everything with letting her know, you know, the good things about her. Speaking, you know, trying to find those things. And I know it's hard when the others are probably standing out now, but really speak about where you do see growth in her life, where you do see progress, what are her strengths. Yeah. And then, and maybe you do this, and go ahead, Kirk.
Right. You're exactly right, Jill. I do this in front of people. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's almost like, you know, I can't give her too much because then she gets mad at me. Like, sometimes if I say, well, I'm proud of you, honey. I mean, I think that was really nice what you said. Well, right away, I mean, she gets angry with that.
Okay. Well,
Kirk just went off the line.
Oh, we lost you.
He's listening though.
And okay, so I hear you, and so I'm sorry if we're telling you more of what you've already done. But sometimes we do get in patterns with people, and if we can tweak it a little bit, sometimes we can have kind of a paradigm shift with things. And so I think, you know, even when you say you're proud of her, I'm wondering if she takes that as a little patronizing, right? Because you're not her parent.
It's amazing how easily it is for a vacillator to take anything in the wrong way.
So you have to say, oh, what about that isn't feeling good?
Yeah.
Right? Let me understand how that hurt you. And you just have to walk really gingerly. Okay. And it's difficult, though.
So I got to read you guys a text that just came to my text right now that applies to this call for Kirk. It's a couple that I'd worked with. He says, so we are using the comfort circle. I had an out-of-body experience with anger the other day. My wife said, you must be getting triggered. After I cooled down, I reviewed the feelings associated with the episode. We discussed it, and I apologized. Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Doesn't happen very often.
I just got this text as we're talking to Kirk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about wounds, Steve.
It is about wounds.
And it's my new phrase. Being able to cross-reference your emotions. You cross-reference them back to the wound that started the whole problem.
Which doesn't make it about a criticism, right? Because it was something that happened to them. And so if you can reframe things like that, that can make a difference.
So here's what we'll do. I'm going to send these two books. I want you to really think and pray about getting you and her to that marriage solution weekend, because it's situations like these that we celebrate so often that things come back together.
Right.
That's what we want.
Even though you feel like you've done this over and over again, the fact that you're contemplating, do I move back in, says, okay, maybe it's time to do something else. And sometimes it's about the timing, too.
It is. All right.
I love what you said, Jill. It's about the timing. It's also about a different paradigm. I don't want to go back into the same crazy stuff. I want to do into something different.
Right.
No, and if you're saying, which you were, you know, well, hey, you know, we've looked at these love languages, that, you know, a vacillator is just not going to be able to respond to that. Well, it's not going to be the same kind of reaction.
So. Well, and they, Mylan, they idealize, right? You know, they have the picture in their head of how it's supposed to be, and usually always falls short of that.
That's true.
So there's a lot of disappointment. Which is why the blaming, right?
That's right. And there's a lot of shame associated.
Yes.
And they're very shame-based, this particular group, male or female.
Terry, Montgomery, Alabama, XM7.
Hello,
Radio.
How are you?
Hi. Great, how are you?
I'm good. Mylan's on the show today, and it made me want to call. I listen to you every day. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, so I'm driving at the moment. I hope I don't lose a call. But I have a question for you, Mylan, but before that, I just want to give you, I'm 53 years old. I was an ER nurse for 29 years and gave up my home, my job, and everything to get in a truck with my husband, who I am a horrible codependent. I've been in a horrific 13-year marriage with a borderline bipolar schizoaffective addict with numerous incarcerations, and he's been my project for 13 years as a codependent, and I understand codependency, and I understand why I do it. I understand my OCD, but I've never understood the root cause, and I mean to get upset. So I've been really praying hard, because in 2014, I walked away from a career, my home, everything I owned, and got in a truck. I lost it all, but I gained so much out here, because for the first time in my life, I could have gone back to nursing, but I drive a truck. And I had to learn to love myself and enjoy my own company out here. And I've gotten so close and connected with God, but yet I still have this desire. I know God has something better for me, and he wants a healthy relationship and a healthy life. And I took the step, and I filed for divorce. But there's something that still draws me to that person. I've always been a person of, I needed acceptance and affirmation, and, you know, I've been praying, and this weekend I signed up for your TV, New Life, and I spent the whole weekend on my reset watching your videos, and I prayed that the Holy Spirit just show me the root cause of my problems, and when I saw that attachment videos that you and Kay did, I just want to thank you so much, because that was an answer to prayer. And I've always said my whole life, I had a mom that was very big-hearted. She cared for us, but she was very sad, never smiled, very distant, very cold. And when I used to hug her, she would withdraw from me. And I needed so much out of her that I didn't get. So I think that's why I've always craved or needed that acceptance and approval. And
well, is there a question today that maybe Mylan could help you with? Anything
specific? I guess my question is, what I'm trying to, I see where my attachment issues have affected my kids, and I have a son that's borderline, and I talked to my older son today, and I can't go back and change what I did as a parent, but I feel like what I'm discovering on myself, I can share with them, so maybe they can discover things before they're 53 years old like I am. And my question is it possible to be two types of attachments? Because I see myself as a pleaser, but I also see myself as controlling. And I also see myself a little bit as an avoider.
Well, pleasers and controllers are very close cousins, because they both want to avoid negative emotions, both their own and others. And so but pleasers, so in that way, they're avoidant. They want to stay away from problems, and they want to avoid difficulty and confrontation and difficult conversations. But you're definitely a proximity seeker. That is, you want to get close to people.
And you'll do so more fearfully or codependently, as you said, you know, where you'll try and caretake or rescue. And that's the part where I had to grow up. Personally, I had to say, you know, I am not responsible for what other people do, and I must protect myself, and I must also be able to say no as well as tolerate people being upset with me. And that was a big learning curve for me, and because my background was a little bit similar to yours. And I would just go back to your husband, your ex-husband, or your husband you're filing divorce, and I would go to your kids, and I would just say, here's what I'm learning about me, and share your journey, and let them learn from you as you share.
And your timing was perfect, because I got a call today from a Bell's bondsman, my husband, who went to Virginia to visit family who has cut him off for 9 years because of all his mistakes. And he actually got a DUI and a semi, and he's calling me to bail him out. And I told the bondsman, please let him know I've been codependent for 13 years, and I'm done. I'm not going to bail him out. He needs to learn his own consequences and resolve this for himself. And I feel really good about that I was able to do that.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, I'm so glad she found tv.newlife.com. Mm-hmm. And I hope that others of you will find the same thing. It really is an amazing, amazing way to transform your life. So please, if you possibly can, go there. Check it out. You get some free time on there. A lot of wonderful, wonderful resources. Every Man's Battle is October the 9th. Man, be great if you could go. Change everything. Then shortly after that is our Healing is a Choice and Marriage Solution Weekends, and then Women in the Battle. So please, if at all possible, go. Tomorrow I'm going to be in Hoffman Estates at Women of Faith. After that I'll fly out to Ireland with some of our great folks on a new life spiritual adventure. So looking forward to that. And if you have never been, we're going to go to Alaska next summer. And so we haven't been in the summer in a while, so this might be a great opportunity for you to go. I hope it is. Please come join us if at all possible. Right now, I'm going to join Ruth from Nashville, Tennessee. WNQM is the station. Hi there. How are you? Ruth, are you there? Ruth may not be there. I can't hear her, but we'll try her again. then maybe we'll be there later. Okay, let's go to Marie from Salisbury online. Hi, Marie. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, Marie. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure. What's happening?
Well, I'm going to get right to a question. I wrote it down so I could be clear about it. I really don't know how to handle my husband's refusal to be transparent about his credit card debt. And I'll give you a little bit.
Why wouldn't he be truthful about it? Why wouldn't he be truthful about it?
Well, he's used credit cards in the past, and like when we first got married, we've been married for 11 years. When we first got married, he had some credit card debt, and his thing was, well, you know, I don't have any family or whatever, so if I die, you know, they'll just get stuck with it. But so, you know, we sold houses and built a house together. But at that time, I took some money that I had and just cleared it and started with a clean slate. And then years later, I found out that he was charging and having balances. And so we kind of had a talk about it, and I asked him to, you know, give me the charges and balances. And what I did is I consolidated them with a lower interest rate and paid them off. And so now he's charged up. He's got several charge accounts, and I don't know for sure because he will not tell me. But I think it's up. It's probably down now, but it was about $21,000. And so the last couple of years, I've been saying, you know, now if you're charging, you're paying it off at the end of the month, right? You're not, you know, keeping balances. And he's telling me, yeah, no, I am.
Okay,
and
so how do you think we could help you?
I don't know what to do. I've asked him. I found out, and I've asked him. Could he please tell me what the credit cards are and the balances and the interest rates? He just keeps saying, "I'm taking care of it. Don't worry, I'm taking care of it." And he kind of minimizes the fact that he lied to me about it.
So how could we help you? What do you think?
Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know am I supposed to just, like, let it go?
Marie, last time he told you, you took it all away from him,
mm-hmm.
right? Have you?
Yes,
all...
but I considered our debt to be ours and our
okay.
Our
now,
okay, but what I, what I'm hearing is you are someone that that you and your husband handle money differently.
Absolutely.
Right, and yep. that. You're trying to get him in line with how you handle money.
Right.
Okay. And he's resisting that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, you and he are partners. In being partners, we can have different strengths. You know, obviously he has a different view that you might not see his way as a strength. But, you know, it's a way to hold on to control. He's not letting you into this area because you take it over and control it. Okay? So it's not about really who's right and who's wrong. It's about you guys being a team and making some decisions together.
We're not really a team. There's really no intimacy, and there's really troubles in the marriage. He's an mm-hmm. avoider. And and here's the thing, you know, we're not young. We're 62 and 63. Not that mm-hmm. that's ancient, but we're getting ready to move because I want to move back to the area where I moved from to marry him and be around my grandchildren. And I'm also thinking about, you know, our retirement and, you know, and having money for the future. And he keeps saying, well, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with you. And he just keeps saying, I'm handling it.
Well, if I were you, I would get my finances legally separated from his finances so that, you know, he has some limits on what he can do to hurt your future. Would you agree with that, Jill? Milo?
Well, I'm just wondering, I hear that there's ongoing patterns that are getting played out in the financial realm, so it is mm-hmm. deeper than that. I think you guys need to get some help to kind of sort through what's being played out.
Yeah, but Steve, I agree with you in the sense that his liabilities are hers, and so to create a separation of that would be important.
Financial safety. Right. We'll be back after this.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Arterburn.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an every man's battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, well, there are a lot of things that I want her to know. I'm going to send her a subscription free to tv.newlife.com. But Jill, you want to make a comment or two
We were just talking about this. I think that there's a lot of questions that Marie needs to be asking her husband. She needs to be kind of moving toward him in a way that says, I really want to understand. I realize that I have my way of dealing with things, and I think my way's right. But I haven't taken the time to really understand why this is so important to you, what this does for you, what do you feel before you go out and charge something, what does this mean to you? So he is kind of, keeping this area of his life very separate and hidden. So,
for instance, if he felt like she was kind of the mother figure mm-hmm. in the relationship, then he might feel free, independent, in charge every time he charges.
Absolutely,
well, that's something
Steve.
To talk about.
That's right.
Something
to talk may feel powerful
right.
when he can flash that credit card.
Right.
And in the face of not having a lot of power in the relationship, perhaps.
Well, I'm going to send Mylan Kay's book, How We Love. A couple of people have liked it. And millions have liked it. And so, and then I'm going to give a subscription because I think she can learn a lot just from those two things. I understand Ruth is now back on the line with us. Hello, Ruth.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. You guys can hear me okay this time?
Yes.
Okay,
what's
great.
Going on?
My question is a dating question.
Okay.
I'm sorry? Yes?
Well, I said okay. We love dating questions.
You guys have great stuff on New Life TV. On dating, and so
thank you.
And I got the book, How to Find a Date Worth Keeping, or mm-hmm. something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So read that, and so recently I decided to go ahead and set up a couple of profiles,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just trying to try things out and kind of really force myself out of my usual rut that I'm usually in because I really
okay,
don't
so
date.
What's the problem? Usually people don't call
date.
Us.
I don't meet anybody. I don't meet guys. Guys don't approach me.
I'm
friendly
you,
and I'm pretty outgoing. I'm just not too sure what else I need
your,
to kind of do to...
Okay. Is your profile it's not causing anybody to, you know, try to meet you or anything online? Is that right?
I've been on several months now, and so far I've gotten one response back out of all of the matches that I've had. And
okay.
And I'm you know, pretty good about smiling, like on e-commerce, you smile back and you send the questions and all of that.
Sure.
So
well, here's
that,
here's a
just,
question
you know,
for
really,
you.
So, I don't know.
Have you looked at your? I mean, I always. It's all about appearance on those things, right?
Yes, it is.
And then you know there are some buzzwords that you can throw in there that'll just destroy everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know what some of those buzzwords are?
No.
Okay. So, like, if your website, if your profile said, "I love to control men and every aspect of their life," that probably wouldn't, you know. Right? That wouldn't draw people to you, right?
Right? No.
Okay. So what you need is to go online and look at website profile or dating profile hints and tips.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I did read that that blog on the site where they gave some bad information.
There are others. And, like, you know, I always encourage women to take a picture of yourself and then compare it to your college or high school annual, and if your hair is the same cut, you might want to consider a change after all those years. And you might want to consider coloring your hair a different color. Purple might work. I don't know. But but there are things that you can do, and if you're not getting any kind of traction there, and you're not getting anything personally, then you've got to go to a counselor or someone you can trust and say, what would you do if you were me? I know you don't want to hurt my feelings, but tell me what is the problem and see if they can't honestly and be willing to hear something difficult, you know, and they might be able to tell you.
I kind of feel like that's where I'm at this point.
Okay. So Ruth,
just over the weekend, I was like, I think I'm going to probably just start back with counseling and just,
good.
Some really honest, unbiased,
perfect,
you know, opinion about just me, my personality. You know, I've had friends say that I'm too articulate, so that intimidates guys. Well, you look too confident, so that intimidates guys. And I really don't know how to downplay any of
those. Hey, listen, if that's really the problem, if that's the only problem,
then you don't want those guys.
You absolutely. You just stay the course, because that is one thing I would, you know, I've never said to a woman, now look, you've got to sound more dumb, and then you're going to draw a man in. Forget that. You don't want that guy, right?
Yeah.
So you have talked. So you have talked to friends, it sounds like, because I was going to say, talk to your friends, and if you have any married friends, ask them to ask their husbands.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, the husbands might say things to their wives that they might not say to your face, right?
Uh-huh.
From a guy's perspective. You know,
look,
husbands friends with husbands you could trust.
I did have one friend's husband say that I don't give the impression that I need a man.
Okay, well, you know, okay,
sure
there's something to be said for, there's something to be said for softness in the midst of brilliance.
Right,
So, you know, maybe there's something there you can look at. But I really would. I would get a therapist, female therapist, to help you a little bit there, because it sounds like you're very bright, and then of course you just have to go out and do more and experience different things than you've experienced. I'm going to send you, is this the one? There's some great, wonderful, fun dating ideas there for you, and also different ways of how to draw someone in, and I hope that will work. Man, wouldn't that be great if the biggest criticism you had was you were just too confident and brilliant for people. I've never had that happen to me. You know, it's be kind of fun.
I like the idea of her going to counseling in order to become more vulnerable.
Me too.
And Steve, one of the things you say all the time, which I really love, is, you know, unless the UPS and the FedEx guy or gal is, you know, unless they're single and asking you out on a date, if you don't get out of that house and circulate and volunteer places and go to places where there's a lot of people, you'll never meet anybody. It's really important to circulate.
You have to go to different types of places.
Yeah.
Well, don't leave the Jehovah's Witness out of that.
Oh, I forgot.
Because
they come to the door.
Yeah, also.
That's true.
But I've found that people on these missionary journeys are not really interested in marrying anyway.
No.
So that's kind of a waste of time. So the story is my aunt asked one to come in and sit down, and the two men did. And she said, okay, what do you want to tell me? And they said, we don't know. We've never gotten this far. So I don't know if that's true, but that was her story. Anyway, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. We can tell you about our workshops. We can find a counselor for you. That was the same aunt that used to, when they'd come to the door, she'd get the lipstick paint 666 on her forehead. She'd go to the door that way, and that was just, it's horrible. And she was cruel, and eventually, hypochondriac, died. Wanted to put C on her tombstone there, but... anyway, let's go over here to Charisse. Temple is the city she lives in. Charisse, WBYN, is the station she listens to. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually got some resolution, I guess you could say, from the other callers, so I guess my question's going to change a little bit.
Okay.
I do deal with, I'm 48 years old, and I deal with anger, and I'm supposedly diagnosed with bipolar, but I don't claim it, so I'm not on medication. But I'm dealing with a lot of hostile people. Well, not anymore, because I cut them off. And I, unfortunately, like, one is my identical twin sister. Her and I are, like, day and night. And you know, she's family, so I want to resolve that issue there with her. And she's taking care of my grandson. She's actually adopted my grandson, but, like... My best friend, she goes over to my girlfriend's house, my former best friend, now I cut her off, too. I don't like people, I hate to say that. I don't like people. I used to be a people pleaser, and now I'm totally opposite. And I'm trying to create a balance, find a balance, do self-validation, and I just don't know, and still be, like, put God first and not take my will back. And
okay,
I'm
now,
just all
Charisse?
Over the place.
Yeah, okay. Charisse, you know what that sounds like to me?
What?
That sounds like a person that used to be on medication that isn't on medication. Because when you say things like, I'm all over the place, or you find more than one person to be hostile or difficult in your life, or you start to say things like, I don't like people, or more than one person seems to be betraying me, things like that. That when we hear that, that's when we say, man, I think you ought to go get a checkup here and see about that medication issue. I would hate for you to suffer when maybe just getting back on could be the answer. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Charisse. And Charisse, I want to give the guys an opportunity to finish with you, see if they have anything
Charisse, I'm just a little curious in terms of how long ago were you diagnosed as bipolar? Because there are diagnoses that overlap, that kind of mimic each other. And so sometimes, people don't land on a right diagnosis. And so I'm wondering if you have gone through periods of time of being on medication and how that worked out for you.
I agree with you, but yes, I have been on medication in the past. However, the doctors have also said to me that I'm a good candidate as to being a person that doesn't need, except, to utilize the skills that I've learned and to work on that, because I feel like a guinea pig every time they put me on medication, mm-hmm. and it's like I get worse before I get better, and then I'm not always consistent, and then when I would talk to them and I'm not on medication for a little while, and they was like, well, you seem to be doing okay, and, well, you could possibly be a candidate for not having to take the medication. Just utilize the skills that you've been taught. So, that's where I'm at with that. So,
but if you're in a place where you're experiencing all that you're experiencing, mm-hmm. why would you do that if when you're on medication, you don't experience that?
What do you mean? Can you explain?
Well,
the medication help?
You said you're all over the place, is what you said. And
well, because I have a lot of issues. Everybody got across the bear, and everybody got problems. And I got my fiance, my son, and my grandson.
Hold on a second. Wait a second. If I'm in prison, I don't have much choice about that cross to bear. But if I'm not in prison, I might be using cross to bear as an excuse to not do something that could make my life easier, more manageable, and grow closer to the Lord, because I'm not battling all these things that are so difficult to deal with.
And Charisse, and I'm wondering how much you take responsibility for your part. There's other people's part, and you can't control that. But what about for your part versus wanting to blame or make excuses?
Okay, good. But I wait a minute. Now I lost my train of thought. That happens a lot. I wasn't a good mom. I was on drugs.
Okay.
And I'm over. What happens is when I get in a crisis, I know where I'm at. I fall back to my old habits, relapsing, and I don't want that,
okay?
So now I'm trying to do something different. I've only been clean for only 4 years this time. There's times where I was clean 7 years, 5 years, now it's four. Every time I feel like I'm in a crisis, I regress. But, like with my children, I'm starting to bond with them better now, thank God.
Okay.
And, so we're okay on that level. Sometimes I try to, should I shut up now?
Well, I just wanted to add, if you're saying the medication isn't something you want to do, you have to have other structures in your life that are consistent,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Being part, since you've been in recovery, being part of a recovery program, being involved in a church,
Bible study.
Okay,
I have a Bible
good.
Study, but I'm disabled, so I'm
okay,
and I don't have a vehicle, so it's hard for me to go out and about.
I understand.
People do come and pick me up, and we go Bible study. I church hop basically instead of bar hop. I used to bar hop at church hop now, which is better than bar hopping.
Charisse,
everything rooted and grounded and grow.
Charisse, everything I've heard you say, I want to hear from Myla and Jill here, but it's all said I really think this lady might do better on medication. You guys, any thoughts here before we go?
Right, because for you, it's not about hopping around. It's sticking with something and having something repeated in place. You go to the same group, regardless about how mad you get at some of the people. Right? You stay involved in this at the same church. You go to therapy week after week. You have consistent things that you do regardless of your feelings.
And that would teach her to tolerate. Well,
it would teach her to tolerate
the
those
good
ups and
bad
and downs.
And the ups and downs,
yes,
wouldn't
and
it?
And not to make decisions based on where she's feeling at any given moment. Right. Because while her feelings, you know, are part of her, they're not always accurate in terms of guiding her.
You know, Charisse, what Jill just said and Steve, those two things of medication helping to stabilize our mood swings. And then the second thing is the stability of learning to stay put and sit in the discomfort of that is really important.
Yes, absolutely.
But Charisse, I just want to tell you, I think, and this is my opinion, that you had a horrible childhood. Mm-hmm. And you were very hurt. And so this disorganization that you're reflecting to us here is indicative of that. And so what I suggest and encourage you to do is be in a processing group where you can process the trauma of your history and process your past. Because as we look at our wounds, we can then begin to heal from them. And a lot of people
do. And then we can calm down.
Then we can calm down. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't want to look backwards. We're very fixated in the present. But we're historical creatures. God made us that way. And every year of our life, all the good and bad that occurred, that all collects inside of us, the good and the bad.
Right.
And we live it out. And so what Charisse might be doing here is living out the very traumas that have been a part of her past instead of living out her life. She's entrapped by them.
You know, it's so easy for other people to judge and say, oh, gosh, you know, probably didn't need medication. But it's also easy for us to judge ourselves that way and say, oh, you know, I shouldn't have to do this. But you don't know. I mean, your makeup is so unique and different, and you just don't know how your upbringing or any kind of trauma that might have occurred, how it might be affecting it. So, all right. Well, I really want her to be on medication so that she doesn't have to go through this. Hold on. Let me send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I think that could really help. Oh, if you could come to the Healing is a Choice workshop, that'd be a super thing. Maybe we can find a way to get you there. All right. Well, you know, if you struggle with something, it's interesting how we can build a whole life around a little myth or something confusing, like, well, this is just my cross to bear, when maybe it isn't. Maybe there is a cross for you to bear, but you never get to it because you're dealing with something that could be maybe eradicated from just going to a counselor or by a different association. Maybe it's what we so often tell people. Do you have friends around you? You know, you can't expect life to be normal and integrated and balanced if you don't have support or if you don't have a place where you feel like you belong. Maybe that's the first step. But sometimes it's a workshop. It's an intensive. And we've got some great ones coming up. Every Man's Battle is next week. Healing is a Choice and the Marriage Solution Weekend, November the 6th. And then our Women in the Battle on the 13th. Then when our Intimacy Intensive, that's in February 2016 on Valentine's weekend. Emotional, spiritual, and yes, physical intimacy, all covered there in a way we've never done before. Kicked off at Francis Chan and then Marilyn Meeberg, Milan Yurkovich and Kay, Jason and Shelley Martinkus. It's going to be fantastic. We'd love for you to come.
And you.
I'll be there. 1-800 New Life. It's also the number to call if you can help us. We've got a matching gift, and we can use all of it if we just have somebody like you to give. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us. Please do. Thanks, Jill. Thanks, Milo. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.